Thank you for joining the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Northwestern Division for today's Missouri Basin Conference call. This call is provided as a courtesy to congressional representatives, tribal, state, and local government officials, including levy sponsors and emergency managers, as well as the media. I am Eileen Williamson, and I will be your moderator. This call is recorded and placed on the Defense Video and Imagery Distribution Service for media reuse at www.dvidshub.net/unit/USACE-NWD. Your participation acknowledges your consent to be recorded. All lines have been placed on mute. To unmute your line to ask a question, press star 6. The forced mute function may not work on all phones, so if I ask, please use your phone's own mute function rather than place the call on hold. We'll have a question and answer session at the end of the call. The agenda is as follows. From the NOAA National Center for Environmental Information, Doug Cluck. From the National Weather Service Missouri Basin River Forecast Center, Kevin Lau. And from the Missouri River Water Management Division, John Remus, Nicole Sorensen, and Mike Swenson. And with that, I will hand it over to Doug Cluck.
Good afternoon. Thanks to the Corps and all of you for getting on and I guess paying attention to the weather and climate for that matter. I'm Doug Cluck. I, as they just said, I work for NOAA, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, out of Kansas City. And why don't we just go ahead and start the slides? I got an extra slide in here this month. Because I sort of wanted to show you a little bit about what's been going on and sort of why conditions may be a little bit more the way they are in the basin. And in other words, looking at what we call antecedent conditions, for the last 3 years over the basin as a whole, basin states really. And you can see that red and you can see green. And basically the red is like huge deficits of precipitation. Now, the unfortunate thing about these maps is that it sort of bottoms out, if you will, at minus 20 inches. But what I'm trying to show you here is that if you look at the rainfall for the last year on the left, you see where it's green is above normal, where it's yellow, orange, red, it's below normal. Lower basin, below normal. And if you look very closely, you can see 20 to 25 inches below normal for the year, the last year, and portions of the Missouri for the most part. Now, looking 2 years back, a full 2 years, 24 months back in time, you see a lot more red. You see a lot more deficits of 20 plus inches over eastern Nebraska, western, or Kansas, Missouri, lower basin, basically. And Iowa's just totally bad. Upper basin is a little bit different. You can see greens, which means normal to slightly above normal. No crazy amounts of water, by the way, just slightly above here and there. 3 years, then you go down to 3 years, three total years back in time, and you really see that lower basin image show up. And so what that means is, what that kind of means to us, and not the upper basin too, I should say Montana for the most part is drier than normal as well. And you can basically argue the entire basin, except for places like in Wyoming and sort of here and there in North Dakota, have been at a deficit over the last 3 years. What that means in the long term, especially for stream flow, base flow in your rivers and streams, is that they're going to be below normal. And it's going to take some time and quite a bit of above normal precipitation to ever fill those lower, if you will, lower buckets or lower levels of soil and groundwater in the basin. So it's a long-term issue that we're dealing with. Just want to get that off my chest, I guess. Next slide. So more real time. Looking at the last 90 days, temperature on the left, precipitation on the right, temperature departure from normal for the last 90 days, basically December, January, February. We see that for the most part, the basin has been above normal in terms of temperature. Not a surprise to most of us. And really the only reason you see some light yellow and little bits of green out there in Montana down to, well, Western Kansas, whatever, was that 7 to 10 day stretch where we had below normal, well below normal temperatures during that period in January. If we didn't have that, there'd be a lot more orange and red on that. But there's still quite a bit of orange and red if you sort of average out those 3 months over our basin, especially as you go north and a little bit east. Precipitation wise, on the right, this is a percent of normal precipitation. For the plains area, for the non-elevationed area, non-sort of high altitude areas, we don't get a heck of a lot of precipitation during this time. Yeah, we get snow. Yeah, we get some rain. But generally, this is not our heaviest time of precipitation. In fact, it's our lowest time of year for average precipitation. So that said, it doesn't take an incredible amount of water to go above normal. Also said, we have improved conditions across eastern Colorado and Kansas and portions of Nebraska, sort of up to up through northern Minnesota. Again, this is looking over 90 days and looking at the percent of normal during that drier time of year. You also see some red spots and orange spots and places where we haven't seen enough precipitation or normal precipitation, mostly in the upper basin. Next slide. And the last 30 days are sort of a pronounced, from a temperature point of view, even more pronounced deviation in terms of temperature. February is, as you're going to hear over the next few days, or maybe already have heard, February is going to blow out, especially in places like Minnesota and Wisconsin, not our area, but they're going to blow out their old records in terms of heat. They've had very little snow, et cetera. But that sort of washes into, if you will, a lot of the Missouri Basin too, especially in eastern North Dakota and South Dakota and Nebraska, down into Missouri, where we're seeing temperatures 9 to 10 degrees above normal over the last 30 days. Yeah, I've got tulips. My crocuses are done, for example. Seems like things are about 2 weeks ahead of schedule. Precipitation wise, on the right, you see the percent of normal precipitation, again, over the last 30 days. Red is really bad. Purple, blues, this is what we want to see, are better. So there we go. The eastern or lower basin is again sort of under the gun in terms of record low precipitation in a lot of those areas, I guess centered in Omaha or Nebraska City, wherever that is down there, the darkest of darks, where you have less than 2% of your normal precipitation. Not great for the lower part of the basin. There has been some snow. Thank you for moving on. There has been some snow in the higher elevations. You can look at these numbers if you really squint, and other people will probably say a little bit more about this, but the northernmost Missouri River Basin feeder basins are well below normal, anywhere from 59 to 70 to maybe 80%. And then as you go south, as you move south into Wyoming and then into Colorado, things do improve somewhat, especially in the Platte River system. The other image I have over there on the right is what it was like in early February. So just, I guess there's been a slight improvement, but not that much. Next slide. So in a nutshell, here is the plain snowpack. It's rather minimal, traced to 1 inch across the northern part of the basin. And the deficit values in snow depth on the lower right. So wherever you see yellow, it's below normal. Wherever you see sort of bluish colors, it's above normal. So for the most part, negligible, low elevation snow equivalents at this point in the season. Next slide. Soil moisture, I put root zone soil moisture. So that's sort of like a medium level depth in terms of soil moisture. And you see what you might expect, those yellows and reds and oranges where there's a deficit of soil moisture, no surprise, in the lower basin, and a little bit better and closer to normal as you move up to, up the basin, if you will, for the most part. We'll know more in the next couple of months in terms of how dry it is up in North and South Dakota and Eastern Montana. And then similar, just to give you a couple different flavors of soil moisture, there's another model there on the lower right that shows sort of similar stuff in terms of lower basin being below normal. Next slide. This is a accumulated precipitation over the next 7 days. We're having precipitation, by the way, in Kansas City as we speak. It was a little heavier today, but now it's really light. But if you add up all that precipitation for the next 7 days, this is what the models and the forecasters think is going to happen. What I'm going to tell you is that for the mountains, this is not a lot of water. Okay, there's some in there, and maybe up to an inch here and there. That's good. In the lower basin, actually, it gets up to 1.5 to 2 inches of precipitation over the next 7 days. So that's fantastic. But the most of the Dakotas, most of Montana, and really the high elevation of Montana, really aren't going to see a lot. So that's the next 7 days. Next slide. The week two, so March 14th to 20th, this is sort of a pattern we've been seeing for the most part. This whole winter is sort of, in this case, is cool to the south, and chances of cooler weather around, New Mexico and southern Colorado. Some of that has been shifted to the west, or some of that this winter was to the west of there. And we've seen this sort of dominating warm pattern, if you will, across most of, especially the eastern plains, Midwest, and to some degree, stretching back into the upper basin. The other dominating pattern that we've seen is sort of this below normal sort of stretching into the Northwest. And as you can see on the map on the right, chances for above normal precipitation are enhanced slightly across Kansas and Missouri, week two, we'll call this week two, but below slightly chances for below normal precipitation are also enhanced for the upper basin, which is not great. Next slide. Looking at a little longer term, March, April, May, this is the El Nino, and I haven't mentioned this yet, but pretty much a lot of what I've shown you fits an El Nino signature, what we call an El Nino signature. So it's not overly surprising that we've seen what has happened. So this is more of a continuation of that, where you have above normal probabilities for above normal temperature probabilities on the left across the northern states, equal chances to the south. And then you have on precipitation on the right, you sort of see a slight increase in chances of wetter than normal from Nebraska south and east. And below normal, unfortunately, across the mountains in Montana for those 3 months. Next slide. This is the current drought status on the left, a drought monitor status for the Missouri Basin. You can see much of the basin is covered with some indication of either drought or abnormally dry. Not overly surprising based on everything we just saw. Temperature doesn't help that, by the way. Being above normal temperature doesn't really help. In fact, it allows more evaporation to occur, especially in the top soil. And then on the right is the outlook through the end of May in terms of what should happen in terms of drought. In our neck of the woods, you see that the lower basin, hopefully because of spring rains, that's what typically happens, is we get pretty wet. Really in beginning after March, April, May, June, we get pretty wet. So the northern part of the basin, however, looks like the brown means status quo, and the yellow means development of. So development of drought across the northern tier states is what's predicted. I think I got one more with a bunch of words on it. Yep. So we're in an El Nino situation right now. It's going to be slowly transitioning to neutral, which may not mean much, later this spring, and then back to La Nina, which we've had right before El Nino for 3 years, this fall. And we'll talk more about that later, I suppose. Plain snowpack still virtually non-existent. Mountain snows, non-snowpack mainly below, well below normal, depending on where you are. And short-term outlook, temperatures trending above normal, precipitation chances slightly increased in the lower basin, decreased upper basin. Good chance of meaningful rains in the lower basin, probably today and tomorrow. And then longer term, increased chances for above normal temperatures I just talked about in the upper basin. And then precipitation chances slightly enhanced for the lower basin, decreased chances for the far upper basin. The date on that webinar that we're going to be holding is actually March 21st, but the webinar information below that is correct. So the next monthly webinar that we'll be holding is March 21st. Well, in 2024 too. So thank you.
Thanks, Doug. And we'll hand it over to Kevin Lau.
Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of the National Weather Service, I wish to thank the Corps for the invite to participate on today's call. As Douglas has already mentioned, snowpack conditions in the mountains vary from being well below normal in the northern Rockies to a near normal condition in the North and South Platte River headwaters. By this point in the winter, we have normally accumulated about 80% of the seasonal peak snow water equivalent. The March water supply forecast issued by our office will be issued early next week. I looked at some preliminary numbers this morning, and once again, the April through September volume looks to be below normal for the mountains west, with the possible exception of the South Platte. The South Platte is coming in at about normal. As Douglas also mentioned, a widespread but very shallow plain snow cover does exist across northern Montana and on into North Dakota. Elsewhere, plain snow is pretty much non-existent. River ice has posed a few problems in the basin this season, the most recent being along the Missouri River in the Bismarck, North Dakota reach. The warmer than normal temperatures in February resulted in a otherwise perfect beginning to the ice flush. But then there was a brief cold snap on the last couple of days of February. I think we went from like 50s down to the single digits. And that brief cold snap refroze the ice below the Bismarck gauge and caused the stages at the Bismarck gauge to flirt with minor flood stage. No significant impacts were caused by this quickly lived ice jam, but still it would give us cause to remember that wherever river ice exists, you've got the potential for ice breakup jamming. Ice jams so far this winter have been reported along the Platte, the Loup, the Elkhorn, the Niobrara, and the North Platte Rivers in Nebraska, the Yellowstone, Beaverhead, and Gallatin in Montana, and along the White River in South Dakota. And there were probably many more locations that didn't come across my desk. But so far, any flooding that would have been associated with these jams has been minor. Again, with the overall warmer than normal temperatures, river ice along most of the rivers in the northern plains is beginning to either rot in place or move out completely. The absence of a plain snowpack to generate runoff is a good thing as far as flood risk goes. But again, while we still have ice in many of the northern rivers, we still have the potential for ice jam flooding. The absence of the plain snowpack actually, to me, raises a more of a concern for frozen ground, the ability for the ground to freeze up. And I think we do have frozen ground conditions across North Dakota and into Montana. So if we ever do get any runoff, then it could, of course, increase the runoff experience by any sort of rain event. Our latest three-month river flood outlook was issued in late February, and the results of that are shown on this graphic, on this map, on this slide. The 400-plus locations that we monitor are represented by those colored dots. Green dots mean that we don't expect flooding to occur between now and the end of May. Orange-red dots do indicate a better than 50-50 chance for flooding again over the next 3 months. And so as of this last outlook, the likelihood of flooding within the basin between now and the end of May is pretty much limited to the southern or the lower basin, those colored dots you see in eastern Kansas and across the state of Missouri. Springtime flooding in the southern portion of the basin is driven by spring convective activity, and therefore springtime flooding in this area is not out of the ordinary. The Missouri River itself is likely to experience minor flooding downstream of Kansas City, down to the mouth at St. Louis, again, due to thunderstorm activity. And this would be flooding that would be on again, off again, not systemic. As I mentioned earlier, ice jam flooding does remain a possibility, and the potential for ice jam is not indicated by this map. The latest spring flood outlook that was issued by our office can be accessed at that second to the last link on this slide. And in a couple of weeks, on 21 March, the National Weather Service will issue what's called the National Hydrologic Outlook, and that will cover the entire basin or entire nation. And all you got to do is just Google the words National Hydrologic Outlook on or after 21 March, and you can read what headquarters has to say about the flood potential across the entire nation. Thank you, and this concludes my National Weather Service flood potential brief.
Thanks so much, Kevin, and welcome back to the Missouri River Water Management Office. Let John start with some opening remarks, and then he'll hand it over to Nicole. John.
Thank you, Eileen. Also, thank you, Doug and Kevin, for sharing your insights. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us. I'm John Rios, Chief of the Missouri River Basin Water Management Division. Our office is responsible for regulating the Missouri River Main Stem Reservoir System. This is the third of our 2024 monthly stakeholder calls. I will provide some general remarks, and then I will turn the discussion over to my senior staff for more detailed information. As always, I want to assure everyone in the basin that the Corps of Engineers remains fully committed to our flood risk reduction mission, protecting people and businesses when we can from significant flood runoff events that pose a threat to human health and safety. As we move into the spring breakup, ice breakup can be an issue, as was the case last week in the Bismarck area. We will continue to monitor these potential situations and make adjustments as best we can. Further, it is important to understand that the volume, timing, and location at which runoff enters the system significantly impacts the timing and amount of water released from the reservoirs. Each runoff season or flood event is unique. Care should be taken when comparing one event to another. We at the Corps of Engineers understand the importance of the Missouri River in providing providing water for irrigation, municipal, and industrial uses throughout the basin. We operate the system to meet the water supply requirements of the basin to the extent reasonably possible. There is presently and will be adequate water in the reservoirs and in the river reaches between the reservoirs and below the system to serve all water supply needs. I want to remind everyone that the Corps of Engineers does not provide or guarantee access to the water. Maintaining access to the water is the individual facility owner operator's responsibility. Further, we will continue to meet our statutory obligation to operate the Missouri River Main Stem Reservoir System for its authorized purposes as described in the Master Water Control Manual. We will also continue to comply with all laws and the provisions of the 2018 Biological Opinion. The final 2023-2024 annual operating plan was posted in December. You can find a copy of the annual operating plan on our website. Throughout forecast and projected reservoir releases and pool levels that Nicole Sorensen and Mike Swenson will be discussing are based on the best available information. Actual conditions may differ. We will be conducting our spring public meetings in the upper basin the week of March 25th. Exact meeting times are being finalized. The tentative schedule is for a morning meeting at the Prairie Nights Casino and Resort in Fort Yates, North Dakota on March 26th, a morning meeting at the Casey Tip Center in Fort Pierce, South Dakota on March 27th, and an afternoon meeting at the Fort Peck Community College in Poplar, Montana on March 28th. Lower Mesa public meetings will be scheduled for later in April. This concludes my opening remarks. Thank you very much. I will now turn the discussion over to Nicole Sorensen. Nicole?
Thanks, John. All right, I am on slide 17 now. The 2024 calendar year runoff forecast for the Upper Missouri Basin above Sioux City, Iowa, which is highlighted in red, is 17.0 million acre feet, or 66% of average. If realized, the 2024 calendar year runoff would be the 20th driest out of 126 years of record. I'm now on slide 18. The below average runoff forecast for 2024 reflects current drier than normal soil moisture in northern portions of the basin and most of the lower basin, below average mountain snowpack, and below average plain snowpack. As seen on this slide, observed February runoff was above average, caused by above normal temperatures. Portions of the runoff typically observed during March or April when the plain snowpack melts was seen in February. We are forecasting below average runoff during the high runoff periods of March through April, typically when the plain snowpack melts, and May through July, typically when mountain snowpack melts. Moving to slide 19, these graphics show the departure from normal snowwater equivalent, or SWE. SWE is the amount of water contained in the snowpack that would be available for runoff or to replenish soil moisture when the snow melts. The February 6th graphic shows the lack of snowpack in northern portions of the basin, especially northeastern South Dakota, North Dakota, and Montana, where differences from normal range from negative 0.1 to less than negative 0.5 inches of SWE. The March 6th graphic shows most of the snowpack present on February 6th has melted, with minor increases in SWE in western Montana. I'm now on slide 20. This graphic provides a status update on the Upper Missouri River Monitoring Network as more stations were completed last year. Installations have increased each year of the project, with a total of 170 out of the 540 total sites completed and transmitting data. Each station is designed to measure meteorological data, precipitation, snow depth, and soil moisture and soil temperature at five different depths. Data provided by the stations help improve products such as the no-risk snow map shown on the previous slide and inform our runoff forecast. Moving to slide 21, mountain snowpack is accumulating at below average rate in both the above Fort Peck and Fort Peck to Garrison reaches. The mountain snowpack in the above Fort Peck reach is 73% of average, shown in the left graphic. As of March 3rd, the total SWE in the above Fort Peck reach is approximately tracking the minimum mountain SWE over the 30-year period of 1991 to 2020. The mountain snowpack in the Fort Peck to Garrison reach is 78% of average, shown in the right graphic. As of March 3rd, the SWE in this reach is slightly above the minimum mountain SWE over the 30-year period of 1991 to 2020. It is important to note that close to 80% of the typical accumulation period has already passed, with mountain snowpack typically peaking in mid-April. In summary, the 2024 calendar year runoff forecast is 17.0 million acre feet, or 66% of average. I will now turn it over to Mike.
Okay, thanks, Nicole. Gammons Point releases are currently at 13,000 CFS. Releases will remain at that rate for about a week, and then will be stepped up beginning on or around March 16th to provide flow support for navigation. Support flows will reach the mouth near St. Louis by April 1st. Releases will be adjusted as needed to meet the downstream targets. As Kevin mentioned earlier, the river ice started to melt out in the Bismarck area, but a return of cold weather last week caused an ice jam just south of Bismarck. Bismarck stage climbed and exceeded flood stage for a short period. Garrison releases were reduced from 25,000 CFS to 16,000 CFS over several days, slightly ahead of the planned reduction schedule. Releases are expected to remain at 16,000 CFS through March, downstream conditions permitting. Moving on to the monthly studies, the basic simulation uses the runoff forecast that Nicole just discussed. Due to the amount of variability that can occur over the next several months, we also develop an upper and lower runoff that are used in the upper and lower basic simulations. These simulations provide a range of reservoir elevations and releases that may be expected under the different runoff scenarios. The discussion to follow will focus mainly on the basic or most likely simulation. Other information is posted on our webpage. So turning here to slide 23, system storage is currently at 54 million acre feet, 2.1 million acre feet below the annual flood control zone. Moving on to the next slide and looking at the upper three reservoirs, Fort Peck, Garrison, and Oahe are currently 3.5, 2.3, and 3.4 feet below the base of their respective flood control pools. As shown on the basic forecast, Fort Peck Reservoir is likely going to peak early this year near elevation 2231. It's a little higher than its current elevation. Peak releases are expected to average about 9,000 CFS this summer. Garrison Reservoir is expected to peak just under elevation 1836, about 2 feet below the base of the flood control pool. Peak releases are expected to average about 20,000 CFS this summer. Oahe Reservoir is expected to peak near its current elevation of 1604. Peak releases are expected to average about 29,000 CFS this summer. Moving on to slide 25. The service level is used to determine releases from Gavin's Point Dam to support navigation, and in combination with the bank stabilization and navigation project to help provide the downstream navigation channel. The navigation service level at the start of the navigation season is typically based on the March 15th system storage. We are about a week away from the March 15th storage check, and it is likely that flow support for navigation will be at a level of 500 CFS below full service. For that level of service on the basic simulation, Gavin's Point monthly average releases range from approximately 29,000 to 34,000 CFS. Service level for the remainder of the navigation season and the navigation season length are based on the July 1 system storage. Under the basic forecast, flow support for navigation would be reduced to approximately 4,000 CFS below full service after the July 1st storage check. There would be a normal 8-month navigation flow support season. Next slide. The studies also include test flows from Fort Peck Dam. The test flows would assess the potential benefits of alternative management scenarios for the pallet sturgeon. One of the criteria for running the test flows is for the reservoir to be above elevation 2227, which is 2 feet above the spillway crest. As shown on the earlier slide, Fort Peck is currently above elevation 2230. There are two pulse periods planned with flow targets at Wolf Point, Montana. The target flows at Wolf Point will be similar to observed flows in some recent years. Water moved from Fort Peck would be captured in Garrison. Releases from Gavin's Point are unaffected by this operation. Under the basic forecast, the Fort Peck Reservoir elevation falls below 2227 in June, which may affect the test flows. Moving on to the next slide here. Energy generation at the main stem dams under the basic simulation is 8.3 billion kilowatt hours. The long-term average is 9.4 billion kilowatt hours. And then moving on to the last slide, which shows the Missouri River Basin weekly update, which is found on our website at the address shown on the top of the slide. This webpage gives a general overview of the conditions in the Missouri River Basin and is updated weekly, usually on Tuesday morning. That concludes my comments. Eileen, I'll turn it back to you.
All right, thanks, Mike. I don't believe that Chuck McWilliams joined us today. So we will skip that portion of the briefing and we'll have a Kansas City District brief by exception. So if there's any questions for Kansas City District or Omaha District, you may ask those during the question and answer session. The next call is April 11th. And then these are the names and contact information for today's speakers. We'll move into the question and answer session. We'll go in alphabetical order. By state, at most, I think I saw we had about 70 callers. So we'll accumulate the congressional delegation, tribes, as well as media. So when you hear your state called, unmute to ask your question, press star 6. You may have to unmute on your computer and on your phone, depending upon how you connected to this call. Please state your name and the organization that you represent before asking your questions. We'll start with the state of Iowa. Hey, Kansas. Missouri. Again, star 6 and unmute on your computer to ask questions. Montana. Nebraska, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Wyoming. Any other callers that have questions, couldn't hit the unmute fast enough? All right, I'll hand it to you to close the call, John.
Thank you, Arlene. Just one correction there. We may move the April call date from the 11th. There's a possible conflict there, but there's more to follow on that, just so people are aware of that. Right now, it's scheduled for the 11th, but we'll see. Lastly, as we move into the spring, spring is always a little bit unpredictable. There can be great big rainstorms. We can get another blizzard. All types of things can happen weather-wise, so just stay vigilant on that. I encourage everyone to monitor our website as well as the websites that Doug and Kevin pointed out in their presentations. There's a lot of information there about what the forecast is, what operations are, and what we're planning to do. So please monitor that. I will offer one last chance for questions before ending the meeting. Going once, twice. With that, I'll end the call. Thank everybody for joining us. Bye.
Thank you.